Our sermon text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 33. Ephesians 5, 17 to 33. Now hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Hear our cry, O God. Attend to our prayer. Lead us to the rock who is higher than we. You are our shelter, a strong tower to our enemy. We will abide in your tabernacle forever, trusting in the shelter of your wings. Hear our vows. Give your heritage to those who fear you. Prepare mercy and truth for us, so we will sing your praises forever and daily perform our vows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning, you can count how many times I say lead. Lead, as in leading, or leader. And your second word is responsibility. So lead and responsibility. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, these last two Lord's Days, previous Lord's Days, we heard sermons on thanksgiving and self-sacrifice. And those two sermons went together to focus our hearts and our minds in living together, both in the church and in our homes. Now, the next two sermons, today and next Lord's Day, will go together in giving us a biblical perspective on men and women. Now, the subjects of men and women are quite vast. We are complex people, complex in God's creation. And it'd be impossible to cover men and women in just two sermons. Today, we will focus on two basic principles for God's design for men. There's much more we can say. And in 3 weeks, we will begin a new sermon series starting in the early chapters of Genesis. So more will be covered there on men and women. Now, because everything cannot be said, not everything will be said. There are mutual qualities that men and women share, but God's word doesn't apply these qualities indiscriminately. For example, we know that wives also must love their husbands. We know that all Christians must be willing to lay down their lives for others. Yet we hear in Ephesians 5 that God specifically calls men to do this. So in these sermons, I'm not going to qualify everything by saying men do this. Well, women are supposed to do this too, but for this morning, it's for men. Nor are we to apologize for the hard teaching of God's word concerning men and women. Let us approach these subjects as we have the last two, in which we consistently faithfully do. Let us approach them with humility and a desire to grow. Let us be thankful for God's word, all of it. And let the Spirit cut us up with the word to shape us and change us. For our task is to mature in Christ. We are not yet what we will be. So we have room to grow in wisdom and grace. Now, all God's people are to learn from God and to learn about God. And while this morning's sermon focuses more specifically on men, husbands and fathers, and obviously not everyone is one of those, all of us can learn about God from men, from being male, from masculinity. So this morning's message is not a message strictly for men. Otherwise, we would do it in a men's meeting. This is for all God's people. God's people learn about God in His Word. This is called His special revelation. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, God reveals Himself. Every book, every chapter, every verse, God teaches us about Himself. We also learn about God from His creation, where His invisible attributes are clearly visible in creation. We understand God by what He has made. Creation talks about God. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is called His general revelation. And in the creation of human beings from the beginning, we see and learn about God. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God's making of mankind, making of humanity, both male and female, as His image bears, this teaches us about God. Each man is an image bearer. Each man speaks about God. This is inescapable. Men are made in the image of God. And this is the case whether the subject, the man, is faithful or faithless. Men are made in the image of God. So men either tell the truth about God, imaging Him rightly, or men lie about God, imaging Him wrongly. So all men have a responsibility to faithfully reflect manhood, to faithfully reflect masculinity to the world. This is man's duty in image bearing. Men have a distinct responsibility to image true manhood. While men are to image God, God reveals specific qualities and characteristics for men. God does this in how He relates to His people. Yahweh God, establishes his covenant with his people. And he does this in creation, and he does this in his redemption. The Lord initiates. The Lord establishes. When he relates to his people, we see this in his covenant side and how he relates to us. In your liturgies, in the inside cover of the front, you have Isaiah 54, verse 5. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. So here we see the covenantal side of God's relationship with us in creation. He is your maker. He is your creative husband. And in redemption, he is your redeemer husband, the Holy One of Israel. In our covenant relationship with Almighty God, the Lord is husband. So men can learn about manhood from the covenant relationship revealed in Scripture. What does God reveal to us about his side of the covenant in the Word? Well, two recurring themes of this covenantal dynamic are leading and dying. Leading and dying. The Lord leads by taking responsibility and initiating. Taking responsibility and initiating. When the first man, Adam, fell in the garden, which is an example of bad leading, the Lord showed up and he had a solution to the problem. He led with a solution. And in Adam's fall, the Lord offered his gracious gospel promise. Genesis 3:15. The Lord said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman serpent, between your seed and her seed. You shall strike his heel, and he will crush your head. Even though the Lord was not to blame for the fall, the Lord was not to blame for Adam's sin, he effectively took responsibility for the solution. The Lord promised the deliverer, the seed of the woman, who is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord confirmed his covenant with Abram in Genesis chapter 15, he instructed Abram to cut up the animals, to separate them. And this would be a sign of the covenant promises. Take up the animals, divide them apart. And to confirm a covenant, ordinarily, two parties would do this with the animals, and then they would go down between the animals. And they make their covenant promises. And each side would march through and say, if I don't keep my end of the covenant, let this be done to me. That which has happened to the animals. Both parties were to go between the animals. If you remember Genesis 15... when Abram woke up from his deep sleep, he saw the torch and the fire pot go between the animals. Abram didn't go down between the animals. The torch and the fire pot revealed to Abram that the Lord took responsibility. The Lord would fulfill this covenant. And this pattern repeats throughout Scripture. In the history of redemption, God's people fall, we are faithless, and he judges his people for faithlessness, but he repeatedly takes responsibility and leads with a solution. He leads with the next phase of grace in the covenant. The Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, the husband of the covenant, takes responsibility and leads to the next phase of covenant history. And this culminates in the perfect imaging of our husband, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, The Son graciously condescended to fulfill that promise in the garden, that Genesis 3:15 promise. The Son humbled himself in an earthly life of being despised, of being rejected, suffering, and dying for the sake of his people, for his bride. From our sermon text in Ephesians 5. The husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. So husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The Son, Jesus, led as the head, and he took responsibility and died as the husband. Jesus agonized over this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to do it. But he took responsibility and he led. Covenant husband, covenant head. Now, in addition to the Lord's own acts in his revelation, he teaches us through good and bad examples in Scripture. When a man in the Bible is faithful, we ought to learn something. Adam failed to lead well in the garden. Learn from that. What did Adam do well? What did he do poorly? Noah, Abram, both faithfully answered the Lord's call, and they led their families unto the next phase of covenant history. Moses led God's people out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Joshua led God's people into the promised land. David led God's people in establishing and growing the kingdom. Now, these men are more than good moral examples, because when they're faithful men, they reveal God. They reveal our faithful husband. They lead God's people in humility and in grace. And the Lord is with them the whole time. Moses leading God's people, and the Lord's with him as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Lord's with them. Joshua, David, leading God's people in the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord's presence is with them. Leader with the divine husband, leading God's people. This pattern continued into the new covenant, perfectly imaged in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came first to his own in the Gospels. The Gospels are about being a faithful and loving husband, the divine husband, Jesus Christ. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit. He preached the kingdom. He served, he suffered, and he died. And then his people followed in the book of Acts. The apostles preaching, the Spirit coming, and the church serving, suffering, even being martyred for the kingdom. The church, we carry on this call with the men of the new humanity. Men, that's what you are. You are the men of the new humanity. And as men, you are to selflessly take responsibility and lead. Fathers, selflessly lead their families. Husbands, selflessly lead their marriages. Now, you are inescapably men. You are inescapably heads of your homes, of your families, of your marriages. The question is whether you image headship faithfully or faithlessly. Faithful headship is biblical manhood. Faithful fathers, faithful husbands, faithful men. Now, there is much confusion in our age about manhood, about masculinity. What is good masculinity? Could you write down a definition? What is faithful masculinity? What's biblical masculinity? Is masculinity toxic? Now, we are tempted to want easy answers to what are masculine activities or mannish activities. If you're a man, do you have to hunt? Do you have to fix cars? Do you have to like beer? Are those masculine activities? We want easy answers to these questions. We're raising our boys. Boys, you have to hunt and fix cars and drink beer. That's what we want, easy answers. At our recent men's meetings, we've discussed the masculinity and headship of Jesus. Because Paul makes this connection in Ephesians 5. You want to see true manhood, you want to see how to be a good husband, Ephesians 5 says Jesus. True and faithful headship imaged by Jesus are not through actions we generally associate as masculine. What did Jesus show us in the Gospels? He suffered. He served. He died. Those are generally not considered manly strong. So in men's meetings, we went through Mark. We made a list describing the actions of Jesus. And in the Gospels, we see how he took responsibility, how he initiated, how he led, and how he ultimately sacrificed. Because Jesus is the perfect image of manhood. He images us perfect masculinity. But we don't see Jesus hunt. We don't see Jesus drink beer or fix his car. So, Jesus masculine? The Son of God became man in the incarnation. And he fulfilled the mission of God by living, serving, and dying to the glory of the Father. Jesus was a faithful human. Jesus was a faithful man. In the beginning, God made man in his image. He made them male and female. And despite what your age, this age tells us, the age in which we live, you are inescapably male and female. You can't change that. Men are male. Boys are male. You are male and you're faithfully masculine when you faithfully execute your responsibilities. Let me try that again. You are faithfully, men, you are faithfully masculine when you faithfully execute your responsibilities. If your responsibility is to fix a car, and you fix the car, you are faithfully masculine. Because you're a man, and that's your job to do. If your job is to build a fire, if you do that faithfully, as a man, you are faithfully masculine. If it's time to lead devotions in the home, that's your job. And if you do it faithfully, man, you are faithfully masculine. Husbands, fathers, your job is to love and care for your family. And if you do that faithfully, that's masculine. God's purpose in making mankind, in making humans male and female, is because God had worldwide kingdom in view. And we are indispensably connected as male and female to go out into the world for the sake of the kingdom and to move forward in history for the kingdom. Serving together, men were created to take responsibility and lead out into the world and on into the future. And under the new headship of the new Adam, men still have this responsibility to lead. Following Christ, this headship includes the ready willingness to die. Taking responsibility, dying for the sake of the bride. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does his church. This means your selflessness, your self-sacrifice, is for the good of others. It is outward, men. There is no such thing as a selfish man. Sorry, there ought to be no such thing as a selfish man. In your homes, fathers, husbands, what are you doing for the needs of your family? Jesus sanctifies, Jesus cleanses, Jesus desires to present to himself a glorious church, holy, without blemish. Now, some of those are divine that you can't do. You can't wash your wife. Only the Lord does that. But those are outward desires that the Lord images in loving his bride. Men have to be outward. So how are you focused on meeting the needs of your families? Even unto the point of death. At your own expense. You lead to ensure that the tasks are completed. And you suffer and die so it is accomplished. This means first and foremost, your focus is on the Lord. And then your focus is on others, not on yourselves. Meaning you come last. And that's why God gave you broad shoulders to carry the heavy load. And if it gets hard, because it will get hard, you cry out to God. It is manly to cry out to God. David did it. Jesus did it. There are many details that we could go through on how to live this out in the family and in the church. But generally speaking, when we have a need in the church and in the family, men, take responsibility to lead. Put yourselves out, suffer and die for the good and for the health of the church and for your family. Older men, reevaluate your faithfulness in these areas. Younger men, boys, learn how to do this. We need families, we need to be a church that cultivates strong men and boys who step up and take responsibility. With courage and love, selflessly laying down our lives for others, even when you don't want to. We have a need, we have a job to do. Who's going to step up and do it? Men, do this even if you've had bad examples in your lives. Even when the conditions are not ideal. Especially when it's hard. Step up. Saul, go fight Goliath. He's pretty big. David said, I'll do it. I'll go fight him. Adam, fight the serpent.
I don't want to. Jesus, fight the serpent. I'll do it, and I'll do it by dying.
Good Sunday activity for you when you go homes, when you go home to your homes. Just go through Scripture. Think about who were the faithful men? Who were the faithless men? Who did the hard stuff at their own expense, trusted in God, and died to self? And who were the faithless men? Who lied about God? Who were selfish? Who were not willing to die to self? There are a lot. Younger men, boys, look around you at the older men in your lives. Learn from them, because they have the responsibility to image God to you, to image manhood. Are they doing it well? And if not, why not? Adults, men and women, train our boys. The priority of the kingdom and how it's inescapable to image manhood. When opportunities arise, encourage the boys to step up, take responsibility, even if they don't feel like it, and especially when it's hard. Men, are you leading? Are you sacrificing? Are you doing this in the home? Are you doing it in the church? Are you serving in some capacity? Are you mentoring young men and boys how to fulfill this calling? We must cultivate this in our homes. Husbands, by loving your wives, taking responsibility of your marriages and your homes. And that doesn't mean you do everything. But you are responsible for everything. And men, we need to continue to learn about God. Understanding the importance of what he images to us as men and how we faithfully live it out. As a man, am I lying about God in manhood? Am I lying to my family? Am I an ogre head of the home throwing that headship card around? If so, repent. Repent, confess sin, and go forth and sin no more. Selflessly lead. If we are to faithfully live out true humanity as men and women made in the image of God, we must continue to look at the one in whose image we are made. Learn from Scripture, from the examples and the teaching. Continue to look to Jesus, our husband, and grow in wisdom, grow in faithfulness in our covenant community here and in the homes, because this dynamic of men and women is a great mystery. There's glory hidden in the Scriptures for us to seek out. And there are a lot of liars in the world, lying about God, lying about men and masculinity. But look to the perfect man and his perfect teaching in fulfilling our responsibility as the new humanity, following our Savior, the King, leading us into the world and on into history. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with you and the Holy Spirit, who now lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.